There were brutally frank presidential debates on state TV throughout the run-up to the elections. The fact that the media was reporting freely on the election, the fact that so many people participated, and even the fact that there are demonstrations now protesting about the result in Iran, all are testament to the difference between Iran and the countries in its neighborhood. So those who hate Iran, those who hate the Islamic Revolution in Iran, those who wish that the Shah of Persia, the tyrant, had never been overthrown in the first place, are lining up to give Iran a good kicking. Well, not me. I have no way of knowing what happened when they counted the votes. There are grounds for being surprised at the margin of President Ahmadinejad's victory. There are grounds, on many cases, for being disappointed at the outcome. What there are no grounds for, and no evidence for, is that the result is substantially anything other than that which was announced. 11 million votes of a majority for the incumbent president. And the reason is, as I gave it here some weeks ago when I was asked live on air on Iranian TV, what I thought the outcome would be. The people who run this TV station, no idea what I was going to say and would never try to stop me saying what I believe. I said I thought Ahmadinejad would win because he had the support of the poor, masses, and the people in the countryside and in the towns off the beaten track where they don't speak English and they don't make a beeline for the BBC or the CNN cameras. That's my take. What's yours? The fact is, we can debate this evening. And this is an Iranian-owned television station. So it's a free debate, and I want your telephone calls, your SMSs, and your emails on this subject or any other that have caught your attention in the past 7 days. Let's go straight to the comment wall. Evening. Yes, hello, caller. Go ahead. Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Where are you calling from?
Yeah, I'm from London.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'm calling for... From London.
Yes, go on.
Yeah, my name's Amara.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to ask you why and Iran, what's her name, Musawi, he doesn't respect for the people who vote for President Ahmadinejad. He keeps it demonstrating for nothing. So that's my call for, so I don't understand why.
Well, I have to confess to you that I didn't understand that question, but Mr. Mousavi had the opportunity to take the legal route to make a complaint immediately to the Council of Guardians, the supreme organ in the Islamic Republic of Iran. He did not do so. He instead called his supporters out onto the streets. They are demonstrating there, for the most part, absolutely peacefully. There have been some very difficult situations to handle over the last few days in Iran. I'm sure that the authorities are doing their best to keep calm. Mr. Khamenei, the supreme ruler of Iran, has asked people to remain calm whilst the Council of Guardians considers the complaints. And if the Constitution had been followed in the first place, then some of the difficulties, bloody difficulties that there have been, they are being investigated, by the way, and we look forward to that investigation being a proper one and hearing all the facts and bringing to book anyone who has done anything illegal, anyone who has used force in an unauthorized way. We hope to see them brought to justice. But Mr. Mousavi, in my opinion, this is only my opinion, my views are the views of this program, nobody else's. Mr. Mousavi should have followed the proper democratic and legal route, and he did not do so, and that's to his discredit. Thank you very much for your call. Let's take an SMS on the wall from Marshall in Scotland, a cheeky one for you. What excuse would you make for President Obama if President Ahmadinejad called the Great Bluff and invited him to Tehran? He would turn him down even though he left all the hostile rhetoric to Europe. Actually, the American response to the crisis in Iran has been remarkably balanced, not least because the United States does not want to hang the title stooge of the USA around the necks of those who are demonstrating and protesting. But actually, the American government's position has been remarkably balanced. Can you imagine if George Bush and Dick Cheney had still been in the White House? I hope that President Ahmadinejad and President Obama will meet, and they will meet in due course. I'm sure that the first meetings will be lower down the pecking order, but I'm in favor of talks of jaw-jaw rather than war-war, and I think we should all be glad that that's what's on. Let's take a telephone call. Yes, hello, caller. Where are you calling from?
Yeah, Birmingham.
Go ahead, sir.
My name is Opa.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, what I'm saying, my question is, I heard you talk about the democratic elections. You keep talking. I'm concerned about, you mentioned the elections in Iran being democratic. Apparently, first of all, before, the candidates had to be approved by a certain body, and that gives me a problem because I'm South African. Since 1948 until 1994, the elections were held. There were many parties. It was supposed to be a democratic elections, but the candidates had to be white. And there could have been 20 or 30 candidates to running. So this, to me, sounds similar to that, whereby, can you clarify that, what kind of democracy is this?
Well, it's the democracy that the Iranian people's constitution provides for. And there are many qualifications that one has to surmount here in the West, for example, in order to stand for President of the United States with any kind of meaningful chance of winning. You have to raise $1 billion in order to stand. That's a qualification. It's a very significant one. In Iran, nobody's debarred because they're a particular color. It's an Islamic country. It had an Islamic revolution, which introduced an Islamic constitution. But if your point is that the choice on offer was not a real one, then that's simply belied by the passions that have been aroused by the election. If the choice was not a real one, there would not have been the kind of brutal presidential debates that took place in, and I mean brutal, by the way, I mean metaphorically speaking, blood on the table on live television in the battles between the major candidates. And there would not have been 40 million people going out to cast their ballot. And there would not have been hundreds of thousands of people on the streets on either side demonstrating in support of or opposition to the outcome. So everything has to be looked at in its context. In the context of the Persian Gulf, there are no elections anywhere in any of the other countries. Never mind real elections. Never mind elections where 40 million people vote and where there's every prospect, as there seemed to be, of the opposition actually winning them. Now, in the end, the opposition was defeated. And there's a lot of disappointment about that amongst Iranians, and especially amongst Western commentators, and you can work out why. Why they hate the Islamic Republic of Iran, why they hate President Ahmadinejad. It's not for any bad things he's done, any mistakes that he's made, and he's done bad things and made mistakes. It's because Iran will not bow the knee to Western power. Because Iran will not bow the knee to the Zionist settler state of Israel, which is an apartheid state, I remind you. That's why they hate Ahmadinejad, not because of any failures in his economic policy or the fact that he dresses or conducts himself in a certain way. Ask yourself, you're a South African, you should know better. You should know why the Western media has gone into this hyped overdrive over the Iranian elections, why they so very much wanted to see the defeat of the incumbent president. Let's take an SMS on the call for that. Let's take another telephone call. Yes, hello, caller.
Hello, Mr. Galloway.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I'm calling from U.S.
Welcome.
I met you in your recent trip to U.S. in Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, wonderful. 108 degrees. Perfect.
Well, it was a good day when you showed up.
Thank you.
We took a couple of pictures. Well, thank you. Your trip to U.S. was very much enlightening, say the least.
Thanks.
Now, my reason calling you is just to confirm the big participation of Iranian in this round. I was the head of the polling place in Tucson, Arizona. And if you allow me, I want to mention the type of the participation we had compared to 84.
Yes.
On 84 was about 30 or 35 Arizonans in Tucson, Tucsonans, voted. This time around, it was 110. Three of them was default by writing the wrong name. But among 107 of them, I'm just saying this just because I like to be transparent. Transparency is the reason I'm saying this. Among 107, one went to Karoubi, Mr. Karoubi. Six went to Mr. Ahmadinejad, and 100 of those votes went to Mr. Mousavi. Saying that, it doesn't mean in Iran the election went the same way. But nonetheless, because of the transparency, I like the itemized version of the voting just to make the confusion go away, and I am positive you will be with me on this regard.
Well, I think that's an absolutely fascinating call. It's a fascinating call from many different angles. First of all, it's some kind of dictatorship that doesn't just allow all the Iranians in Iran to vote for president, but allows Iranians in Tucson, Arizona to elect their president, many of whom left Iran and went to live in Tucson, Arizona, and elsewhere in the United States and in Britain after the revolution overthrew the Shah, and a population left the country to set up new lives elsewhere, but they are still voting in Iranian presidential elections. And I salute that. That's a remarkable piece of national cohesion. It's secondly very interesting because it confirms what, if you think about it, it's perfectly logical that Iranians living in Tucson, Arizona would rather have the opposition in power than the president in power. That's one of the reasons they're living in Tucson, Arizona. So I think that's a credit to you. It's a credit to the Iranians in Tucson who voted, and it's a credit to Iran for having a system that allows them to vote and for their votes to count in your way, in your case, an overwhelming victory for the opposition candidate. Thank you very much indeed for that call. Now, and see what this one's about and where it's from. Yes, caller, hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello, is that me?
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know it was me.
It's okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm calling from England.
Yes.
Yeah, with regard with, you mentioned about democracy in Iran.
Yes.
Well, the democracy is what you got in England, not what we got in Iran.
Well, we have our own form of democracy. It's a different form.
And you got a good one. Good
well,
one.
Well, I think so too. And I'm English, I'm British, and I'm proud of. I'm proud of many aspects of our political system, but the point is it's our political system and nobody else has the right to dictate what it should be.
Yeah. May I talk?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. The reason I said that, because like you here on TV, you're talking about Gordon Brown, his so-and-so, and nobody's going to bother you. But if I, myself, an Iranian, live in England for 33, 35 years, if I go back to Iran now, which I haven't got any problem going back because I left in a good time, I didn't escape, I didn't do anything wrong. If I go there, and if I say the same thing about Ayatollah Khamenei, which he called himself Ayatollah, which I don't believe he is, if I say the same thing, I'll be on the end of the rope, hanging from the pole.
Well, you know, the very fact that you have just insulted Ayatollah Khamenei on international Iranian television, the very fact that the president and his opponents were brutally attacking each other in a debate live on Iranian national television just simply belies what you're saying. The fact that there is a democracy in Iran is proved by what has been happening over the last few weeks, both the election and, for that matter, the protests arising in its aftermath. And if you think that nobody insults the president of Iran, you haven't been in Iran in a very long time. Because on my last visit to Iran, people were insulting the president all over the place, including, although I better not name them because I don't have their permission, some very senior people indeed in Iran. So it's just not true what you're saying. Now, of course, the religious importance of the supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, and that's a title that you're not entitled to deny him, I can assure you of that, any more than I am, is a revered figure, has a special place in the Iranian constitution, is a product of the Islamic revolution. Iran is an Islamic country that came into being in its modern form as a result of a revolution which overthrew a dictatorship. It drew up a constitution. Its constitution is its constitution. Its democracy is its form of democracy. And they're as entitled to their form of democracy as I am entitled to the democracy in my own country. Let's take another telephone call. Yes, hello, caller.
Hello, Mr. George.
Yes.
My name is Zulfikar. I'm calling from Houston, Texas. I would like to give a comment on the Iranian election.
Yes.
Well, apparently, as you know, Iran has been suffered many dictatorship previously. Now they got independence and a legal way to reach their voice to the public. Now they elected Mr. Ahmadinejad. Ahmadinejad is a legally elected president. Mr. Ahmadinejad deserves all the credit. The three other candidates, apparently, they do not understand. They have good freedom in the world. They are surrounding by enemies, left, right, behind, front. They should be more appreciative that their freedom is flourishing, and they are a well-civilized nation. So therefore, I understand that they're coming on the streets and protecting their Mr. Ahmadinejad is an elected president. I mean, they should...
Well, they're entitled to come on the... Yeah, they're entitled to come on the streets, and they have been. They're entitled to complain about the conduct of the count of the election, and they have done. And these complaints are now being considered by the organ in the Iranian state, which has the duty and the responsibility to consider such things. And that's how it should have been done. The fact that these protests have led to bloodshed and some violence has been deplorable. And whoever is responsible for bloodshed should be held accountable. And I hope that they will be held accountable. But as I said at the beginning, Mr. Mousavi should have conducted his complaints through the legal channels. And if he had done, then we wouldn't perhaps be in the political crisis that we are today. His majority was 11 million. Ahmadinejad got 11 million votes more than the second place candidate. That's a gigantic majority. And if someone's suggesting that someone sat in a room and put 11 million X's on ballot papers, I simply don't believe them. I wasn't in the room counting the votes, but then neither was the BBC, but that hasn't stopped them having a point of view. Let's take an email on the comment wall. Mehdi in Iran, what's going on? I believe it looks as an orange revolution in the Ukraine, a velvet one in Georgia, this time Americans trying the green one in Iran. I hope our nation will be wise enough to recognize the trap which is prepared for our nation. Well, there may very well be foreign hands behind some of the activities, but the people who are on the streets protesting are Iranians. They are Iranian citizens. They believed that their candidate was going to win the election. They're suffering very great disappointment. Some of them feel that they were cheated, and they're entitled to make that complaint, and they're entitled to demonstrate in support of it. So it wouldn't be, I think, fair to write off all those people who are campaigning against the election result as somehow foreign agents. What's undoubtedly true is that the Western media, even the best of them, have gone completely overboard on a basis which just doesn't stand up. They were not in the count. They have no way of knowing what the real outcome of the Iranian election was, any more than they know what happens in the count in other countries when they have elections. And they certainly don't know what's going to happen in elections in the Persian Gulf region, because, well, there aren't any elections at all. Let's take a telephone call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Hello, Mr. Gomez. I'm calling from London. Well, fantastic show, by the way.
Thanks very much. Go ahead.
I'm just calling in regard to this Iranian election. In my view, I think Mr. Ahmadinejad had won the election in a very open way. Voted 24 million out of, I think, possible 46 million who voted. Therefore, I think, as not Iranian, obviously, I'm speaking on behalf of course, as a non-Iranian citizen. So I think the election was quite open, but I think the Western media has blown the issue out of proportion.
Yeah, well, look, there's no one can deny that it was open because we all saw it on television. We saw a presidential election unprecedented in its frankness, where the president of a country on television is having a toe-to-toe scrap with his main challenger in a way that was quite unprecedented television. I had never myself seen anything quite like it. People were openly campaigning in the election. There was a real choice. But I said here, and I stand by it, Ahmadinejad speaks to the poor masses in Iran. He looks like them. He lives like them. He lives the same life he lived before he became a president. He skews the economic policies of the country towards the poor, towards the rural areas. And I was in no doubt that there are far more poor people and rural people in Iran than there are people around about the environs of the five-star hotels in downtown Tehran or in North Tehran who speak English and are happy to talk to Western journalists. That was my take on it from here. But I don't know, of course, what happened in the counting booth after the polling closed, but neither does anybody else. So why is the automatic assumption that some kind of monumental cheat occurred just because the candidate favored by the West didn't win? That's really the big question, isn't it? Let's take another telephone call. Yes, hello, caller.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Mr. George, what do you think Mr. Mohammed al-Baradi'i, he said the nuclear program in Iran is not for energy, it's for to reach atom bomb. So do you think American and Israeli, and you know Ahmadinejad, he won an election, and Ahmadinejad, he said we never stop nuclear program. So do you think they're going to attack Iran, Israeli, because before a few months ago they make training near Greece,
Yeah, yeah, you keep saying that, but it wasn't a few months ago. It was nearly 2 years ago. You keep saying it was a few months ago. You say that to me every time, and it's not true. Nobody's going to attack Iran because that would be the most monumental stupidity in history. Al-Baradei said no such thing unless he said it while I was in the United States and I've missed it. What he said, and I saw him saying it, I saw his lips moving and I heard the words coming out. He said there is no evidence that Iran is trying to build a nuclear bomb. One thing I should tell you and tell all the critics, that all the candidates in the Iranian presidential election absolutely insisted on Iran's sovereign right to develop nuclear power. Iran is a signatory to the Non-Proliferation Treaty. There is no evidence, according to Al-Baradei, that it's in breach of that treaty. Unlike Israel, which does not sign the treaty and has hundreds of secret, deadly nuclear weapons. And the Western countries that are threatening Iran help them build them, help give them the material to make them. How's that for a double standard, my friend? Anyway, thanks for your call. Let's take another one. Yes. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, hello, George.
Hello there.
This is Jalil, and I'm calling you from London, England.
Welcome, sir. Go ahead.
I think the election in Iran is not really about Mousavi. It's Rafsanjani. He's the main power. He has been elected by fraud, and he gained all the money, and now they are pushing him back. After Ahmadinejad came to the power, they push him back, and he is scared to be thrown out. And that's my view, because in the other hand, and Western media has been so, to my idea, double standard, they see Iranian only 6 or 5 million rich or young people in north of Tehran. They don't see Basij, they are, and poor people, which is, to my opinion, they are really voting Ahmadinejad.
Well, that's very interesting. I don't know the basis for that. I do think that it probably cost Mr. Mousavi some votes to be thought to be associated with the former president Rafsanjani. But these are, in the end, matters for the people of Iran. It's not my business, really, who's up, who's down between these big players in Iranian politics. It's really a matter for Iran. And this is something that I think the Western commentators would be well advised to take on board. That insofar as they're seen to be interfering in Iran's internal affairs, they're actually weakening the people that they think that they're supporting. Because the Iranians are proud people. They didn't have a revolution to get rid of the tyrant, only to allow the tyrants to come back through the back door. Thanks very much indeed for your call. Let's take another one. Yes, hello, caller. Yes, hello.
Good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening, sir. Go ahead.
Actually, the Islamic Republic of Iran has got all the right to be proud of its democratic election. Even the protests of the opposition is a proof of that democracy. You, I'm sure, remember the count and recount of Al Gore and George Bush, the son, when the losing part protested and was not happy with the result and all that. But it was few hundred votes. This is, as you rightly said, Mr. Galloway, 11 million votes. Mm. I think this is a proof of the democratic process in Iran, but democracy needs to mature, and the opposition needs to have some more maturity. I heard some of those protesting saying, where did my vote go? I'm afraid it went to the losing candidate. So,
well, I wish I couldn't have put that better myself. Indeed, I wish I had introduced the Al Gore George Bush logjam into the debate. I must be more jet-lagged than I imagined. It's absolutely correct that in the United States in the year 2000, the election was actually stolen by George W. Bush. As became clear afterwards, Bush did not win that election. He did not win Florida, and therefore he was not the legitimate president of the United States. Now, that was a long-running controversy, but it didn't delegitimize in the eyes of other Western countries or the Western media overwhelmingly the presidency of George W. Bush. And with that presidency, we saw that he dragged the world into war and disaster. So you're absolutely correct. This is partly in the context of maturity. Iran has only been a democratic country for 30 years, but in those 30 years it's come a long way. And the fact that we, on Iranian national international TV, are having this unscripted, unfiltered debate about what happened in the election is proof of democracy, Iranian style. It must be proof of it. Do you think if this was a Saudi television station, that they would allow me on live TV, not knowing at all what I'm going to say, to be conducting a debate with you phoning in, no one knowing what you're going to say? This is proof of the change that occurred in Iran over the last 30 years. Hallelujah, I say. Thanks very much for your call. Let's take another call, shall we? They're coming in thick and fast. Yes. Hello, caller.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Hi, how are you, George?
I'm well, thanks. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from USA.
Welcome.
Thank you for your program. You know, it's the best, you know, I watch and I listen, but today I just turned it up, your show. And I am very happy that a lot of people are awake and know what's going on, you know, over there. I just want to mention a few of, you know, points regarding the election that happened recently over there. And one thing that I have to mention is the letter that Mr. Rafsanjani, Hashim Rafsanjani, 2 weeks before, a week before the election, sent it out, you know, to the leader regarding the fire and the smoke. And that was a threatening letter, you know, regarding the regime that is going to be happening. And this guy, he's behind of all of this trouble right now is facing in Iran, I believe. The second is, I was witness and I was listening to you, Mr. Karubi and Mr. Karbashi, June 8th of last week, that they were talking about, you know, how we can distribute money between their, you know, between their people to vote for them. And the respondent, Mr. Karoubi, said, he said, we're going to give it to them. Doesn't matter, are they going to vote for me or Mousavi? So we have to distribute 100 million among these people.
No, I don't believe that 100 million was distributed to voters. There are countries in the world, there have been elections even quite recently where money was openly distributed. People were flown from the United States to Beirut, for example, just in order to cast their vote. And some candidates paid for their entire trips. That's how important that election was to some very rich people in the Lebanon. But I don't believe that 100 million story. I don't believe that Karoubi and the other candidate were involved in that. And I don't know the truth of Mr. Rafsanjani's involvement in this election. But I do repeat that I think it probably cost Mr. Mousavi some support in the country, that his candidature was said to be tied to the former president, Rafsanjani. But thanks very much for your call in the United States. Let's take another one. Yes, hello, caller.
Hello, yes. Mr. Garaway.
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. I'm calling from London.
Welcome.
Yes, I'm just literally want to say that what Mr. Ahmadinejad has done for the past 4 years is what Iran needed. Because under the previous governments, they literally folded in front of the powers of the Europe, and they literally closed all the nuclear installation. And over the past 4 years, Ahmadinejad has moved to the ruler. Every month, they take the whole cabinet to different provinces, and they're listening to the poor and the needy. And end of the day, 11 million votes extra is coming from those trips, gone from every corner of the country. They cannot be in charge, constantly sitting in the posh offices in Tehran or down in the street or wherever it's going to be. They have to go to the masses. And he came from the masses and he listened to them, and that's why he got the vote. So those people, they come on the television or on the media, they say, where is my vote? As your previous caller said, it's gone to the losing side.
Iran, yes, well, that's what happens. Match. You know, that's what happens in elections. I've voted for the losing side many, many times, and it's always a disappointment. But you just have to dust yourself down and be ready to fight another day. I don't think it's accurate to say that the previous presidents folded their tents and bowed before the Western powers. I don't think that's fair. But it's certainly true that most Iranians, it seems, value the fact that Ahmadinejad is quite a defiant character so far as the big powers attempting to bully Iran is concerned. The truth of the matter is that Ahmadinejad looks like, talks like, and is like the people from the poor mass of the citizenry of Iran. And some of the rich people in Iran don't like that. They'd rather that the wealth was spent on them. It's very similar to Venezuela. The same kind of people who hate Ahmadinejad are the same kind of people who hate President Hugo Chavez, and the same people who love Chavez seem to love Ahmadinejad. It's been marvelous. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you again, God willing, next week at the same time, same place here on Comment.